Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My fellow New Jerseyans, 70 days ago, you chose to take our state in a new direction. And today, full of optimism and hope for a better future, we begin that journey together.
And so began Governor Phil Murphy's first speech as governor, promising a stronger and fairer New Jersey. He outlined his priorities, funding details to follow, of course. WNYC New Jersey reporter Karen Rouse was in Trenton yesterday, and she joins us now to help us listen and understand more from the speech and to talk about what's next. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian.
Do you want to set the scene a little for everybody who was not in Trenton yesterday? There was a 19-gun salute, and he used the Bible from JFK's inauguration.
Yeah, I think that the day really reflected his campaign theme, and that was this sort of, you know, New Jersey that is inclusive, a New Jersey that works for all is what his theme was. And, I mean, from the very beginning of the day, he started his day at a church service in Trenton at Shiloh Baptist Church, and it's a church that's about five blocks from the governor's office, and it's in the inner city. It was a multi-faith service. You had an imam, you had a reverend, a bishop, all spoke, a black choir that sang beautiful music. And then, you know, he was down for the inauguration in the War Memorial in Trenton. You saw, I saw a group of about two dozen young women wearing pink hats and Women for Murphy signs. And then just the inauguration itself. I mean, you had a DACA dreamer deliver, lead everybody in the Pledge of Allegiance. And that makes a huge statement to have this undocumented person leading us in this Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. And then you had the national anthem sung by a young South Asian boy, who, a 14-year-old, who went up to the front of the room in a wheelchair and led the national anthem. So you just had all these themes of diversity and inclusion, and I think he went out of his way to show that that's what this new administration is going to be about. And I think that you also saw that in the people that were attending. I mean, in diversity in all sorts of ways, through age, you know, age, race, faiths, all different people there, and just a lot of excitement, as you could imagine.
So much diversity and inclusion that Governor Murphy was even gracious to his predecessor, his highly unpopular predecessor, when he mentioned him by name, praising his work on the opioid addiction crisis, but not so much in setting his agenda. Here's some of that.
New Jersey was once a national model for protecting the environment and at the same time growing an economy fueled by innovation and ideas. We were fiscally responsible and we were home to a thriving middle class. Yet we ensured that the least among us had programs to help lift them up from poverty. We have long had strong firearm laws that have kept guns out of the wrong hands and at the same time protected the Second Amendment rights of sportsmen. We can once again be the state that leads the nation in progressive policies and puts common sense and our residents first in line.
So, Karen, how sharp a break with the past administration, either in tone or in substance?
I think in tone, definitely. I think that there are a lot of people in the state, minorities in particular, the poor, who have felt left out of the administration over the last 8 years under Governor Christie. You know, when you think about education, for example, just not funding the public school system under the state formula, giving them what they need. And I think Murphy is trying to say, like, okay, we're going to now include those people in policy, in funding. And, you know, Christie was there. He did, you know, like you mentioned, he did praise him for his work with the opioid addiction problem in the state. And he said he'll continue that. So that was something. It looked like Governor Christie was happy about that or gracious in his response. He kind of nodded from the audience. But everything else, I think, is a break in that you're going to see Murphy now addressing more social issues, social justice issues like voting rights, incarceration, things like that, that the prior administration didn't so much emphasize.
Listeners, anybody watch or listen to Governor Murphy, get used to it, Governor Phil Murphy, his inaugural address yesterday, and want to react to anything he said or raise anything else relevant on this first full day of the Phil Murphy administration in New Jersey with our New Jersey reporter Karen Rouse, who is at the swearing-in, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as we continue to listen to some excerpts from the speech, and here's one in which he goes into some detail on part of what he's looking for with respect to some women's rights-oriented legislation and equality-oriented legislation, what he's looking for from the state legislature. This clip is about a minute. There are a few applause lines within this, and we've edited out most of the applause for time, just being straightforward about the edits within this, but you'll hear all of Governor Murphy's words.
To my partners in the legislature, I ask you to send me the bills, among others, to reaffirm our support for women's health and Planned Parenthood. A bill to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. You might as well stay up. A bill to promote equal pay for women. A bill to give every worker the peace of mind of earned sick leave. A bill to tear down the barriers to voting. And a bill to strengthen our gun laws. And I promise you now that those bills will be met with a signing ceremony. We don't have to longer and fairer to attack income inequality and to protect and grow our middle class. That's why later today, in one of my first official acts, it might be my first official act, I will sign an executive order promoting equal pay for women.
So equal pay for women, Planned Parenthood funding, the minimum wage, which he framed as a women's issue to some degree, as well as other things in there that were not gender-oriented. So, Karen, how does the executive order that he referred to promote equal pay, per se?
So the executive order really applies just to state agencies, and what it says is that they cannot explicitly ask a woman what she made in her prior job, with the idea that if you're already in your prior job making less than a man, asking and using that figure as the base just sort of perpetuates that income inequality, that gender pay inequality. This just applies to state offices. This is not a statewide law. And he is calling basically for the legislature to do that. That would fall on the legislature to make it a statewide law so that businesses and other agencies outside of the state offices would also be required to would not be allowed to ask women what they make in salaries.
The Democrats control both houses of the Jersey legislature. So is this a political kumbaya moment? Are they all set to send that list of bills that Murphy just asked for or said that he would propose back to his desk for signatures?
No. I mean, you know, right, the leaders of the Senate and Assembly are also Democrats. But I think that you're going to see some resistance on a couple of bills that are pretty important to Murphy. And one is, you know, two of the things that he wanted to do and he campaigned on is, one, raising the millionaire's tax, and legalizing marijuana. And he wants to do those two things to raise about $1.3 billion. And the state Senate leader, Stephen Sweeney from South Jersey, was very supportive of that. But right after the election, he sort of expressed some resistance to an increase in the millionaire's tax. And that's really upset certain groups, some very progressive groups, like the New Jersey Working Families Party. And then you have Craig Coughlin, who is the new leader in the Assembly, and he is now expressing some reservations about the marijuana legalization. So there are Democrats in the state who really are not as progressive as Murphy is. He has a very progressive agenda, and they see themselves as a little more centrist. So I don't know that that's going to just sort of fly by. And then you also have the GOP, and they're very concerned about Murphy's agenda. I mean, of course, they're in the minority, but they're concerned about the $15 minimum wage and the legalization of marijuana. And they're also concerned about they call it the state-sponsored support for illegal aliens. You know, they're concerned about much of his agenda, as some of the Democrats.
He also said, "We must immediately resist Washington's all-out assault on New Jersey." And he wasn't only referring to the tax bill. Here he is on immigration.
It is leadership that has made our country a place where immigrants still come in hope of a better future, and that includes from Haiti and from the continent of Africa.
And in case we didn't know, he was setting himself up against the president. On diversity, he touted his cabinet appointments in the speech.
Because of that, our cabinet reflects the great diversity of our state. And I could say something about each and every one of them because they're extraordinary individuals. But let me say a couple. Among that group is the first Latina to lead the Department of Banking Insurance, Marlene Caride. It includes the first Muslim American cabinet official in the state's history. And his name is Dr. Sharif El Nahal. It includes the first African American and the first minority to lead the New Jersey National Guard, Adjutant General Jamal Beal. And it includes Gurbir Graywall, the first Sikh American Attorney General in our nation's history.
And on that score, further to that score, let's hear from the new Lieutenant Governor, Sheila Oliver, the first African-American to have that position. This is from her inaugural address with applause intact.
Even in a state that has prided itself over the decades as a laboratory for progressive policies, it has taken from our independence in 1776 until this moment for New Jersey to have a woman of color serving in a statewide elected office.
The new Lieutenant Governor of New Jersey, Sheila Oliver, and our New Jersey correspondent who is at the inauguration, Karen Rouse, with us and inviting your responses on the phones, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What role, if you know, will she play, or does Governor Murphy say, or Oliver herself say she will play in the administration?
So I think he's looking to her to sort of be his liaison to the state legislature. You know, she was an assembly speaker for many years, and she knows municipal government. She came up through Essex County government, through that party. And I think he's sort of looking to her because, you know, Murphy does not have political experience. This is his first political office. You know, he's a former Goldman Sachs executive and a former ambassador to Germany. And I think she takes that role seriously. And I think that the clip you played, I think she also she takes this role seriously. I think she was very caught up in the moment of her being this sort of this first African American woman serving in the statewide role, and I think she understands the weight of it and appreciates it. But I think he's going to be looking to her, especially her connections to minority communities, urban communities where she's well known,
and to the legislature because she's an experienced legislative leader. And he comes in, as you say, with his business background, but nothing in New Jersey state government.
Right, and she understands New Jersey politics and the political bosses and all that insider stuff that he's really walking into. So he's looking to her for guidance on that.
Let's take a phone call from Arlene in Fairhaven. You're on WNYC. Arlene, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Brian. So my question is about education. New Jersey has hundreds and hundreds of school districts. I live on a peninsula that's about the size of Central Park, and I'm not kidding you, we have three separate school districts. So this is a tremendous amount of waste. Everybody has a school superintendent that makes $250,000 a year. And worse than that, the kids that feed into a high school are coming from districts with totally different curriculums, and so they're on very different playing fields when they get to high school. And this has been brought up before in previous administrations, and then it just sort of seems to disappear. Any idea if this is going to finally be addressed?
Karen?
So I know that Murphy wants to fund public schools because they've been underfunded, but this is a very touchy subject because all of these school districts are run by people who don't want to give up their power and their local values. And, you know, it's a hard thing to sort of merge districts, but it's a problem because, as you know, the funding of public schools is what impacts the property taxes in New Jersey and why we have the highest property taxes in the nation. It's been talked about, and I believe there are a couple towns that have merged, but I think the school district issue, I mean, you're totally right. I mean, you have districts that are funneling into a school district. I went to one like that, that you're coming from smaller districts with different curriculum, and then you're being fed into one high school, and now, you know, you're trying to merge the education for these different students. But I think it really all boils down to power and local control and whether people are willing to give that up.
Arlene?
Well, I hope they come up with something because it's, as you know, it's absurd.
Thank you very much. Marvin in Milburn, you're on WNYC. Hi,
well,
Marvin.
I think Mr. Murphy is a plutocrat, and all he's going to do is just chase people out of the state with these confiscatory taxes and these regressive social programs he favors.
Regressive?
They're regressive. They hurt people. They enrich like politicians. They enrich the welfare class. And illegal aliens. I mean, this is an assault on civilization, what this guy stands for.
Marvin, thank you very much. Well, one likely Trump voter there, assault on civilization, and the rest.
But I think he has some people in the state who feel the same way, maybe not as strongly as he does, but I think there are people that are concerned, and they feel like Murphy is very progressive, and, you know, they would like him to move a little more to the center. And I think that some people are concerned about, you know, the, especially like legalization of marijuana. There are some people that, you know, on the campaign trail, you know, you hear in some Republican areas that are concerned about, you know, being a sanctuary state. So, you know, he's got some friends here.
What about the first thing that he said in that call, that he's going to wind up chasing people out of the state by you know, the context was he was going to chase people with money out of the state and businesses by raising taxes. How much of a concern does Murphy seem to have about that, or does the evidence seem to suggest that raising taxes in the way Murphy wants to will do?
I mean, I think that, you know, the wealthier citizens are concerned about his push for a millionaire's tax. I mean, and maybe Steve Sweeney will be the person who stops that, but I don't know that people will leave the state if they haven't left already for the high property taxes. I don't know that that's why people are here. I mean, I think, you know, on the flip side, a lot of people feel that the quality of life is good in New Jersey. I think that, you know, that, you know, we'll just have to see on that in terms of the millionaire's tax, but I don't know that people will up and leave because of that.
Tim in West Milford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how you doing? I'm calling because I want to make sure that people don't forget about the fact that Governor Murphy has announced he wants to initiate a public bank for the state of New Jersey. And I think this is a terrific idea. I've been following this concept for some years. And one thing it does is it does provide a source of funds in terms of fees and other payments to the banks that currently hold our money for us would all now accrue to the state. And that's not an insignificant amount of money. And it gives us direct control instead of trying to go through federal government regulators and things like that over significant amount of the banking that the state does. So I think this is a real good idea, and people should support it. and especially if they're concerned about raising taxes, because this is a new income stream for the state if we do it right.
Tim, thank you so much. And that certainly was one of Murphy's campaign promises. One, Karen, that I think a lot of people found sort of inscrutable, like, what? He's talking about a what? A public bank? What does that even mean? So did he refer to that in his inaugural address?
No, I actually haven't heard him mention that recently. I didn't hear it yesterday, but yes, that was something he promoted on the campaign trail. I'm not sure how that would work, and I do think that people are concerned about it. But, you know, obviously he's got a fan there.
And we'll see if he follows up. Elliot in Brick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elliot.
How are you?
Good. What do you want to say?
I was listening to the inauguration yesterday, and I understand that Murphy had to find something to praise Christie about, but I felt that it was kind of the wrong area to praise him about what's tapping the opioid crisis, when in fact, as a U.S. attorney and also as a governor, Governor Christie is responsible or partly responsible for the increase in opioid addiction in the state by his aggressive prosecution of people who were addicted to the opioids, also convictions of marijuana distributors or possessions, and also his opposition to marijuana, which has been proven by some people to be a safer, non-addictive option for people who have the pain that causes them to go on the opioids and then become addicted to them.
There's also the racial perception that people like Christie want to put white people who use heroin in treatment and black people who smoke marijuana in jail. But Karen, the Christie TV commercials are all over, I think, national television, not just New Jersey area television, suggesting that, you know, this is a disease, we're here for you, reach out and get help. The caller is saying he really hasn't put anything of substance into place. I don't know if you've been on this beat at all, but to the extent that you know, what can you tell us?
You know, I really couldn't speak to that. I don't know in much detail, but I think that's a feeling in general. I mean, I think even in New York State, there's a feeling that, you know, when we had the crack epidemic, that it wasn't a crisis, and then now it is a crisis because you're seeing suburban white kids or people fall into addiction. And with Christie, I mean, you know, I've seen him in with urban folks, and I've seen him with suburban folks. I couldn't really speak to that.
And
whether he's hurt one group or the other.
Let's take one more call. Allison in Short Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allison.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. So I was just wondering what Murphy's position is on sort of resurging the funding for New Jersey Transit for additional tunnels under the Hudson. As I'm sure everyone's aware, New Jersey Transit, delays, you know, talking about leaving New Jersey, of course. It's not just the property taxes, it's the commute into the city. So, you know, I know at least people in my community who are very dependent on the New Jersey Transit have been having major problems getting to work lately. And we're all concerned about the property values and our jobs, frankly.
Yeah. Karen, did he even mention transit in the inaugural address?
He didn't yesterday, but he's talked about it a lot. And, I mean, he's definitely in support of a new tunnel. You may know that we were supposed to have a new tunnel called the ARC Tunnel that would have opened this year had Christie not killed it in the first year of his term, his first term in 2010. But Murphy has, infrastructure is one of his big themes, and I think he has a lot of support in the legislature. I did speak to an assemblyman yesterday who sort of tempered Murphy's speech. You know, he says he has a lot of things on his agenda, but he said transit needs to be a priority because, you know, it's a safety issue now, and the number of breakdowns, and I think a lot of people feel that the economy of the state, and I believe Murphy believes the economy of the state, really hinges on whether our transit system is reliable.
Allison, thank you for your call. Karen, before you go, I want to bring in Shamita Basu, who has been cooking up a little New Jersey gubernatorial audio treat. Shamita, what you got?
Hi, Brian. So this morning we asked listeners to send us their best advice for the newly sworn-in governor, but the catch was your advice needs to be two lines long, and those two lines need to rhyme. So, as promised, I have Frankensteined a bunch of our listeners' responses together into the worst slam poetry you'll ever hear, and a lot of them were via Twitter, so I'm going to read it for you. You ready? Holy cannoli, it's Governor Phil. Let's hope he does something about that New Jersey tax bill. Love that you first signed off on women's equal pay. Hope your actions continue to follow what you say. Hey Phil, as a Jersey girl, I know we're Jersey strong, but Garden State Parkway traffic might break me. Holdup's really long. Enough with the cars, make safe streets a priority, and while you're at it, disband the Port Authority. Do you want to help workers, but not sure how? I'll give you the solution. $15 now. If we Dems don't fix the gerrymanders, we will be known as democracy bystanders. Be less nasty than your predecessor, more a uniter, less an aggressor. Take a look at Hoboken. Our station is broken, yet the fares keep on climbing. You've got to be joking. Maybe the cash from the weed we're all smoking can help NJ Transit from constantly choking. And did we forget to mention, it's time to fix the pension. Never forget to practice what you preach, and if the government's shut down, stay off the beach. What we want, the bar is low. Just do some good before you go. Don't be dismissive or abrupt, and please, oh please, don't be corrupt. So thank you to everyone who submitted your rhymes. We had so many tweets and calls, they were really fun, so keep them coming if you want. You're rhyming two lines of advice for Governor Phil Murphy. You can tweet at WNYC. Leave us a voicemail. We're enjoying hearing your voicemails. The number is 8558-MY-WNYC. That's 855-869-9692, and we may share your rhymes on the air.
Boy, did you demonstrate that Bruce Springsteen isn't the only Garden Stater who can build a rhyme, huh?
Good job, you guys. I think Jersey and other listeners, we got submissions from Connecticut and New Yorkers too. So
now, what rhymed with Port Authority there? Can you take me back to that
one? Yeah, enough with the cars, make safe streets a priority. And while you're at it, disband the Port Authority. We got a lot of Port Authority tweets, but I think this was the most successful rhyme. So
Karen is our Phil Murphy correspondent. Let's see if you can get him to do his next speech totally in couplets, okay?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
WNYC's Karen Rouse, who is at the inauguration of Governor Phil Murphy and Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Brian.